on Annenberg Radio News.
The city powers that be simply have to decide that it's a bad policy and they should change it.
It's the second anniversary of the Safer Cities initiative that puts more police officers on Skid Row. Not everyone thinks the program is working. We'll hear from both sides. Good afternoon and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, September 25th. I'm Lata Pandya. After the Metrolink train crash that killed 25 people on September 12th, the Metropolitan Transportation Authority Board voted this morning to fund new safety improvements. Mark Lippman, an MTA spokesman, had some recommendations for how to make trains safer.
Put two engineers on each locomotive instead of one. Implement an automatic train stop system. The other thing is to put video cameras in Metrolink locomotive cabs that can record for forensic purposes and also for investigation disciplinary action.
The Federal Railroad Administration estimates the new safety measures could cost over $4 million. The board will look for state and federal funds to foot the bill. Metro staff will also investigate simpler technologies like safety belts. The exact cause of the accident has not been determined, but the board says the safety improvements will limit the possibility of human error. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says Los Angeles could be facing a $400 million budget deficit next year. The mayor told a group of business leaders today a drop in state funding and the economic crisis around the world are part of the problem. Villaraigosa says cuts to essential services like public safety may be the only way to balance next year's budget. The suspect accused of fatally stabbing a USC student is behind bars today. 24-year-old Travion Ford was arrested last night. He's charged with killing cinema student Brian Frost near campus 1 week ago today. Police says Frost was stabbed when two men got into a fight. Police do not believe the crime was gang-related. A coalition of groups announced a bipartisan drive today to register Latino voters. The coalition includes Spanish language, media, and community groups. Julianne Spencer reports.
Veronica Morales registered to vote 3 years ago, but she has plenty of relatives who haven't yet, and she plans to help them out.
My brother, he hasn't registered, but I am encouraging him that it's very important that a Latino vote counts.
Latino leaders are targeting potential voters, like Morales' relatives, to get them registered. Ya es hora, ve y vota, or it's time, go vote, is a nationwide campaign. Its goal is to sign up 1 million new voters in time for the November election. Janet Murguia is helping the campaign.
Our goal with this project is to make the voter registration process easy and more accessible to the Latino community.
Poll watchers are pointing to Latinos as an increasingly important voting bloc. The National Association of Elected Officials say in some states, Latinos could decide the election. Registered voter Rudy Casillas thinks the candidates need to start paying more attention to Latino issues.
I still think that, yeah, they don't think Latinos make up that big of a portion of the population.
Julianne Spencer, Annenberg Radio News.
The summer-like temperatures we've had this week are about to end. We'll have highs in the mid-60s tonight. We'll have highs in the mid-80s until Sunday, when it will fall into the upper 70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, bad economic times are making it harder for Los Angeles residents to find a job. I spoke to Ange Marie Hancock about the double-digit unemployment rates in the African-American community.
What I say, LA, you say, yeah, LA.
For 2 years, residents of Skid Row have compiled with Los Angeles Police Department's Safer Cities Initiative. Now, some residents saying they've had enough. As John Horn reports, homeless activists marched from Skid Row to City Hall today.
What I say, LA, you say, yeah, LA, yeah, LA, yeah.
More than 200 of Skid Row's homeless and their supporters stopped traffic just outside City Hall today. They were protesting the two-year-old Safer Cities initiative that added more than 50 police officers to their community, an area of less than 1 square mile. A joint study between USC and UCLA found that the initiative resulted in more than 5,000 felony arrests from August 2006 to June 2007. Resident Deborah Burden says when it comes to Skid Row, the city needs new priorities.
Instead of using those resources to bring in more police, we're asking the mayor to bring in more affordable housing.
Without a place to live, it's almost impossible to get a job. Just ask Herman Redfern. He became homeless after losing his job as a forklift operator 6 weeks ago. As soon as prospective employers find out Redfern lives on the streets, he says they lose interest.
And they ask you, where do you live at? And you say, I'm homeless. Right. That's a strike against you. That's a strike out.
The Safer Cities initiative was supposed to increase resources for the homeless, but Redfern says he can't get help from anyone.
You ask to get into these programs, there's no room.
Right.
Or we don't have a bed right now. Or we can't accommodate you right now. But you don't have this, you don't have that. There's always something.
Attorney Barbara Schultz of the Legal Aid Foundation of Skid Row says creating affordable housing for everyone is the best solution. And she says the first step would be ending the Safer Cities initiative.
It's not a law. Nothing has to be repealed. The city powers that be simply have to decide that it's a bad policy and they should change it.
With more housing, Skid Row residents like Redfern may have better luck finding a job.
I'll be to work every day when I'm supposed to be, work my hours, do what I gotta do, draw my paycheck and try and find me somewhere to live.
The protest ended in a grassy park behind City Hall with chants of power to the people. No city officials were there to meet them. Jonathan Horn, Annenberg Radio News.
There's a lot of opposition to the Safer Cities initiative, but some people think it's actually helping Skid Row. Yusuf Al-Haddad has more.
Many Skid Row residents and business owners are against the Safer Cities initiative. They say the initiative hasn't helped Skid Row. The only change they've seen is more police harassment of the homeless. But Estella Lopez, executive director of the Central City East Association, says the police are the heroes and not the villains.
Some people believe that this is a war on the poor and a war on homelessness, an attempt to criminalize homelessness. But don't tell me that the police, who often find the people who are dead or dying on this sidewalk and try to get help for them, are the enemy. The police who take away that guy who stomped that woman to death are the enemy.
Lopez says the Skid Row problem is complex, with no simple solution. She thinks the Safer Cities initiative is a step forward, but not everyone agrees. A Skid Row store owner, who asked not to be named, says she sees police harassment.
You know, if police are driving by and they actually see something, then of course, if they're doing something illegal, of course they have the right to intervene. But for a person just walking down the street minding their own business, no, they shouldn't be questioned. But I just think they're going overboard.
Most of the store owner's customers are homeless. The store owner says she would like to see police treat them with the same respect as anyone else. Yusuf Al-Haddad, Annenberg Radio News.
Unemployment is up and employment services are down, at least in California, where most offices are cutting staff. Pete Griffin visited an employment center in Crenshaw.
The unemployment rate nationwide is 7.7%. That's a statistic employees at the Crenshaw Workforce Services Center in Los Angeles are well aware of. Sue Cummings, an employee representative with the center, says that the 7.7 doesn't represent everyone who is out of work.
There are people who actually would make that number larger if we were recording them. They are the people that give up for a while or forever or whatever. So there's actually more unemployed people, but the 7.7%, those are the people that are actively looking for work right now.
Adding to the unemployment problem is a shrinking staff of workers at the center. The staff has dropped from 100 to just 25 today. Cummings says that the staff now has to work smarter with such limited resources.
We have to work smart and we have to use the technology that's available to us. And we have the internet that we can use, we have computers that we can use, and we use people to do workshops to help people prepare for interviews and help them know what the employer is going to expect from them when they come to interview.
Kenya Ferguson is looking for a job. She has been visiting the Westlake Worksource Center in downtown L.A.
When you go to apply, either for an interview or just to put in an application, there's so many more people
applying. So many more people than even this time last year, 6 months ago. So many more people on applying for that particular position or with that particular company. And it's strictly because, you know, it's not because people are dying to work for this company. It's because they need work. They need whatever kind of work they can get. So that's the first thing you notice when you walk in the door. My God, there's that many more applicants out there.
Back at the Crenshaw Workforce Center, Cummings is staying optimistic and aims to educate her clients on how to find a job, with or without one of the employee representatives by their side.
Getting them to the interview means they have to become self-sufficient. If this department is going to go away, we're trying to guide them to the one-step centers and the WorkSource centers and the workforce centers, show them where they are, and they can go and get help there. We are trying to help them build their skills on the computer so that they are self-sufficient, that they can get on a computer, find job openings, and find information about employers, and find information about the labor market, because they need to know which jobs are going to be popular or very necessary in the future.
Despite Cummings' optimism, the grim state of the economy and the high unemployment rate will mean a larger workload for employee representatives at the center.
Unemployment in the African-American community is at a three-year high, peaking at 11%. Ange Marie Hancock is a professor of political science at USC. She says the federal and state economies are the contributing factor to the numbers.
The economy is in an overall downturn, both locally in Los Angeles and across the United States. And so to the degree that we have that kind of stagnated economy, it is going to affect young people and people in marginalized communities first. So in many ways, African Americans are what other scholars have called the canaries in the coal mine. They're the signals and the harbingers of harder times to come.
Can you point to one specific thing, or is it just an overall economic downturn that is affected the community?
Well, one thing, of course, in Los Angeles is the decline of the housing sector. And to the degree that African Americans are concentrated in sectors that are either closely associated with the housing sector or in unskilled job sectors that are associated with lower income levels, they are more likely to go first when it comes to unemployment. They're more likely to be laid off. They're more likely to have shorter tenures at jobs. So from a seniority perspective, last hired, first fired.
Do you find any discrepancies within the community? Is it harder for women to get jobs versus men, new graduates, or high school students?
Well, I think one of the issues that relates to gender is the degree to which there are incarceration rates which affect the African-American community. So when people get out of jail or out of prison, it's much more difficult for them to get any kind of skilled professional job. So again, they fall into these unskilled sectors that are highly volatile and subject to change in economic downturns.
What do you think the future looks like?
What we've seen over the past few decades is that African American unemployment does tend to hover above the general unemployment rate. So for example, in Los Angeles right now, the overall unemployment rate is about 7.7%. So 11% is about 3 to 4, sometimes as much as 5 or 6% over the general unemployment rate. So I do unfortunately see this as an enduring problem. And I think that it gets exacerbated at times by these economic downturns, where young African Americans, for example, who might want to have a job, are then pushed out of the job segment because you have people who are unemployed with greater experience or greater education and greater skills taking those jobs that African American young people would actually normally get. The last thing that's really important to think about when we think about African American unemployment is the degree to which there is still differentials in terms of educational achievement. And to the degree that certain jobs do require educational skills, it makes it that much more difficult for African Americans to be employed in some of the so-called hot sectors. So one of the policy changes that we can make is to improve K-12 public school education in a way that trains students for those kinds of jobs. So whether it's green jobs or whether it's technology, computer science-based jobs, jobs that would actually pay these students once they graduate a living wage, and then they would be much less susceptible to some of these economic backs and forths.
Professor Hancock, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. national leaders of the anti-smoking campaign were in Leimert Park today. They announced plans to push back against the tobacco industry's continuing success in African-American communities. Matthew Richmond reports.
Go for it. The California Department of Public Health reports that the smoking rate among African Americans in California is about 40% higher than for adults overall. Anti-smoking advocates point to the marketing of cigarettes, particularly menthol cigarettes, to African Americans. Reverend Anthony Edwards is president of the National Black Church Initiative. He says his organization is committed to stopping manipulative advertising tactics.
The tobacco industry utilizes the black culture and their own social traits in language, style of dress, and to portray that smoking is fun and is sexy and cool, and if you smoke, you can be successful.
A bill before a Senate committee would put the FDA in charge of oversight of the tobacco industry. The bill would require FDA approval for all new tobacco products and ban all flavored cigarettes, except menthol. The bill will establish a scientific advisory committee to evaluate the threat posed by menthol. Sharon Eubanks is a former lawyer at the Department of Justice and lead counsel in the government's civil racketeering case against Philip Morris.
We don't need a scientific advisory committee to tell us that African Americans are suffering and dying at a greater rate from tobacco-related diseases than any other ethnic groups, and that this suffering occurs even though they start later in life, typically smoke fewer cigarettes per day, and try to quit more often.
Both Reverend Edwards and Eubanks will speak at a conference tomorrow at the Airport Hilton. The theme of the conference is A Community Under Siege, the State of Black California and Tobacco Use. Matthew Richmond reporting for Annenberg Radio News.
Beaches in Los Angeles County are receiving good marks from a new report card out today. Heal the Bay is a nonprofit that advocates for water quality. The group says 2 years of drought have helped keep ocean waters around the city cleaner than usual. Mike Grimmer manages the report card for Heal the Bay. He says he's slightly concerned about the cuts in the new California state budget could harm water quality.
We're still trying to see what's going to happen exactly, what the fallout is, but we're not entirely, we're not freaking out.
Grimmer says money is still available for cleaning up ocean waters, but he says funding for research on what to clean is in jeopardy. Now we check in with Matt Schrader to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Well, Lotta, coming up at 6 on Annenberg TV News, the suspect in last week's stabbing of a USC student is behind bars. Police have also released the suspect's name. We'll give you the latest in that case and students' reaction to the news. And if you're like most college students, Lotta, I know you are, you've probably text messaged while driving. But after the deadly Metrolink train crash, California is banning texting and driving. We'll give you the scoop on the new controversial law. Plus, students' reaction to President Bush's proposed $700 billion bailout. It's tonight at 6 on ATVN.
Thanks, Matt. And keep clicking on Annenberg Radio, annenbergradio.org. When you can, experience the beat of the drum, circle in Leimert Park. All that kind of craziness is on annenbergradio.org, so go check it out. That wraps it up for today. Our producer is Caitlin Fenaro. We had help today from Richie Duchon, Claudia Melendez, Kim Daniels, Alex Jacobs, and Kevin Patra. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Lata Pandya.